Hello, let's proceed to our first lightning talk for today. Let me introduce the speaker and the title. Building resilience through open mapping, Jani Flew on Oranio.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So I am Jani Flew Villar Oranio from Southern Leyte State University. So I'm currently the head of the GIS Technology Center and also the advisor of the Southern Leyte State Youth Mappers. And today, I'm going to be sharing about our local experience and initiatives towards building resilience through open mapping in Southern Leyte. And this is the glimpse of the center and the organizational structure of our center. So it was established last 2015, and until now we are giving services to Southern Leyteños and even beyond the province. And why mapping matters for resilience? Southern Leyte, where in most of our projects are being organized, and it's one of the most disaster-prone provinces in the Philippines, and there has been typhoons, landslides, and flooding in the place. And that's why we need to have a more reliable and community-driven data, especially for the planners, for the government officials to have an insight on what is really happening on the ground so that their strategies will be more impactful for the community. And these are some of the disasters that has been happening in our province. So we have the Ginsogon landslide that was 2006, and then we have also the Typhoon Odette way back 2021, and the latest we have this magnitude 5.8 in Pintuyan and 10 kilometers southeast of San Francisco. So this has been causing this devastation in our provinces. So that's why we have this program, which is on building resilience to open mapping. So the challenge currently and that we are trying to address are the following. So we have the outdated or incomplete LGU maps. So for the CLOOP and CDP, then limited technical capacity for mapping and spatial data analysis, and also lack of integration between the community and the DRRM planning. So these are the different activities and services that we have provided for the community. So we do conduct GIS capacity building for LGUs, SK leaders, and also for DRRM officers. And we are also supporting faculty and students, especially on their thesis or capstone project, because their capstone project is based on the community problems. So that's why we are also integrating these trainings to them, which is the integration of GIS for their studies. And then also offering capacity building for farmers to map out their farmlands so that we can also characterize the location of the farmlands as to the hazards and other thing. And then we have led community mapathons and participatory mapping. And also, we have developed GIS manuals. This is for the sustainability of our training programs for the LGUs. And these are some of the pictures of our trainings conducted to the community. And we are integrating and introducing them, the OSM, because we believe that LGUs are the ones who are very familiar with the place, with the community, and so they can validate, and in terms of the contribution, most likely they will be contributing the correct polygons or features on the map. And then these are some of our students' trainings and capacity building. So we have this annual Let's Talk About GIS. So the students got to share their findings, their studies, applying GIS to different sectors and different problems that they have identified on a particular community. Then these are sample of the manuals that we have developed. We have acknowledged that every municipality has its unique features and characteristics. So we do have manuals for them so that they can continue to do mapping even after the training. So this has been the growth of the contributions over time. So we have been making impact as to the contributions and current projects. We have the municipal crime and accident management system integrating also spatial data and analysis. And then we have the development of GIS intervention for water quality assessment. So we will be conducting participatory mapping to know about the water sources of the people and also to know the possible contamination or factors such as the garbage and households which do not have toilets. And so since I'm running out of time, I just browse over the slides. We have also provided technical assistance for other provinces like Cebu, Biliran, and Mindanao. And I want to end my presentation with this. Good governance begins with good data, and good data begins with great partnerships. So we continue to collaborate and to do good for the community that we are serving. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Oranio, for your presentation. And now let's move to our second lightning talk, which will be presented by our speaker, Lake Lunas, Mapping Pet-Friendly Spaces, Lake Lunas.
Okay, hello, good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to present Mapping Pet-Friendly Spaces in OSM. My first question is, who are pet owners here? Hello, you're my friends, all of you. So definitely, this talk is for you. Okay, so it started with this baby boy. His name is Mr. Poopy Butthole. It's from the Rick and Morty show, Mr. Poopy Butthole. I call him Poopy. So it began with him. I got him 2 years ago. And we went to this restaurant. I was so eager to eat at that particular restaurant. And apparently, there's no pet allowed inside. So my family and I took turns eating and watching him while we're waiting on the side. So while I was there, my family, they're eating inside the restaurant. And then after 5 minutes, okay, it's my turn. And then we take turns. So it was really a hassle for me as a pet owner to know where are those places that I can bring my dog with me. At least in the context of the Philippines, because I don't see a lot. Okay, yeah. So this will help for parents to plan ahead which restaurants or parks to visit. And also establishments attract growing market of pet owners. So sometimes we don't know if pets are allowed inside. You have to ask them. You have to go personally and, hey, do you allow pets inside? Or you can just check their website or their Instagram or Facebook page if they have a notice that, hey, you can pets are allowed to be here. So, okay, so the OSM tags that I've been using is shop, pet store. So if it's a store that sells like food, accessories, products, these are the tags. And sometimes just a POI point to pets is yes or no. Pets should be leashed. Pets, do you need to be crate allowed? And pets designated. So there are also parts of a building or a mall that there is a specific area that pets are allowed and the rest, it's not allowed. And dog, yes, and cat, yes. So sometimes dogs are allowed, cats are allowed. So these are the tags that I've been using. So when that happened with me and my dog at that restaurant, oh, I started like tagging or trying to find the tags on OSM to use so I can map out where are the spaces I can take my dog. Yeah, so you can use OSM website to add or delete establishment. So this is the nearest pet store in near my place, but it should be pet store, not pet. So anyway, so just tag and then submit or publish. And then if you're on the go, you can use Go Map or Organic Maps. So Go Map, you can specify also like pets know, or it can be more specific. But in Organic Maps, you can just, you can find pet shop or dog park, but there's no cat park. Yeah, so these are some things that you can do online if you're on the go. And yeah, so next time if you visit a cafe or park with your pet, open OSM and add your tag. So it takes 2-minute edit to help thousands of pet owners. And possible future projects, I don't know. But usually when I go out and I have time, I'm bored. Instead of scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, I just find places like, oh, okay, the pets are not allowed here. So I'm tagging them. I'm thinking of having a walkathon in Maginhawa. It's somewhere nearby where I map out the establishments to have pet-friendly spaces. And maybe thematic maps to showing all where they are located. So yeah, I'm not sure yet. It's new for me also. And thank you. You can follow my dog. He has his own Instagram page, and me also for collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you, Lunas. Now let's move to our third lightning talk. Let me invite the speakers. More, Mia, Rensoy, Yude. The title of the lightning talk is Jaw Dropping.
Hello everyone, thank you for attending our lightning talk. We are students from Kurohashi Laboratory at Aoyama Gakuen University. Aoyama Gakuen University in Japan. Today we are going to talk about jaw drawing.
Okay, and first I'm going to tell you about what geodrawing is, briefly. Maybe some of you might know about this, but geodrawing is art form that uses GPS functionally to record movement paths and then plot those paths on the map and creating shapes resembling pictures or letters. It means using your own movement as a brush to draw a picture on map. And then my senior of Kurohashi Laboratory wrote graduation thesis on geodrawing that drew lyric of Japanese famous band Sakanakshin. That song is called Shin Takarajima. I talk about the creation process. First, we decided on the terms we chose. We chose the SOTM as a word symbolizing the event itself. We also decided on the Jipni as a subject that embodies the essence of the Philippines. It's a vehicle everyone sees on the Philippine streets. We discussed this as a team, expanding our ideas before making the final decision. Next was the designing the route, creating a path that could be worked in one continuous line, proved very difficult. We looked at the maps repeatedly to simulate the route and try to make the actual path as close as possible to the shape we wanted. When we actually walked the route, rain started falling partway through. So we proceeded while taking waterproofing measures. The area around the university has many slopes, so which made our legs very tired. In the end, we walked a total distance of nearly 10 kilometers, which took a lot of physical effort. We captured this process on video, so please take a look.
It's the start of the
school. So this way, we were able to enjoy walking even in the rain.
Now let's take a look at our final artwork. past, this is the word SOTM. Each of us 31 letter using Strava GPS tracks. And together it formed SOTM. And next, please guess what do you think this shape is? actually, we tried to draw the Jimny car, which is the logo with this year's SOTM Manila. We walked around the streets near this conference venue in Manila for about 1.5 hours without stopping. It was a bit difficult to find a good route using the road around here. So we carefully planned the order and direction and checked the each line connected perfectly without any gaps between them. This artwork shows how mapping can connect people, place, and creativity. Next, our final part is the summary.
Geodrawing is not just about exercise, it's art, and it's also a new way to enjoy the city. Next, we'd love to try even bigger works and different themes. And we hope you will try creating your own artwork to using your footstep. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Let's move to our next lightning speech, which will be delivered by the speaker, Erika Tamba, OSM versus field practical training. OSM versus field practical training.
My name is Eric. I am from the United Republic of Tanzania, somewhere in Africa. Who knows Kilimanjaro? Someone from Asia. Ah, it's your favorite spot, right? So I invite you guys to hike Mount Kilimanjaro. It's the tallest mountain in Africa. So if you're at the top, you'll see everywhere in Africa. Yeah. That right, Riley? All right. So, yes, my talk is on OSM and field practical training. Who here has been part of the Youth Mappers program? Youth Mappers? Yeah, cool. So I've served as the Youth Mappers regional ambassador for like 4 years consecutive. And I've worked in Africa in helping support building different OSM communities. So here I'll talk about a certain program that we developed during the program, the Youth Mappers engagement. And I'll just look at the background, cohort summaries, the impact, and what's the future. Yes, so as the regional ambassador, I found out that there are a lot of, you know, people who are excited at first engaging with OSM, especially students at their early years. And after that, you won't find them no longer contributing to like mapping events or something. So the background actually started in 2023. This was like after my first cohort as a regional ambassador. And I found out that through partnerships with the universities, exploring some of the resources like computer laboratories, as you know, like in Africa, it's a really big challenge. Just having space for people to map, right? So we started going to different Youth Mappers chapters, like the universities, just to, you know, establish a proper memorandum of understanding on, you know, like if we could have 5 weeks of engagement with a student each year, that would have more like impact on it. So since then, our objective has been integrating open source technologies into the academic curricula. So they have credits there, course that we provide to different universities. So this is our first cohort where we had 30 students from the Bachelor of Environmental Sciences and Management at Sokoine University of Agriculture. Yeah, and these are our highlights. We did some of the data processing and analysis from the data on OSM and other open source repositories that we find online. Students also engage in field data collection. We celebrated some of the events like Open Data Day. We had mapathons, and also now students could come present, pitch their projects, their ideas on how they could use data, and we shared some of the awards. These are some of the statistics which we got from the first cohort. This was the class of 2024 last year, where we had an increase of 60 students from the same program, Bachelor of Environmental Sciences. And this was a larger cohort for us since we began. And again, the engagements were a bit similar, but we had something new where we now invited new partners virtually. We had someone from OSM Kenya and also OSM Uganda come share with our students. And they were really eager to know if they, they introduced to new tools, they could speak with someone doing the same similar thing in another country. So it was a nice one. And this were some of the statistics. And interestingly, we had used some COBOL to have a survey in a certain area where we mapped some of the point of interest to just add more details on the map. And this was class of 2025 this year, March, where we had also an increase, 68 students. But we had another new program, the information technology students, who also joined the environmental sciences and management students. And the major highlight to this, prior to other engagements, we also introduced drone. We partnered with Open Map Development Tanzania to introduce students to drone. So they had all the theories and practicals to just make sure that they are inspired with the new technologies. And again, this wouldn't have been possible for the three cohorts we have had. TomTom have supported us a lot on BTZ together with other universities and other organizations as well. So what's next? Again, 2026 Field Park Training will be on from next year, but we want it to be more fun starting from November. And we will call for partners around next week. So thank you so much for listening. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Eric. Now let's move to our next lightning talk, which will be delivered by Dan Jacobson. The title of the talk is World's Best Addressing System.
Okay, so so we're talking about rectangular cities and what's the best way to address the houses in a rectangular grid city. And you can also do this for your computers in a data center, how to address all your thousands of computers in a data center. So we'll just go straight to the map here. And control plus and make a bigger. Okay, so this in your, I hope you're familiar with Los Angeles or Chicago. Okay, that's, so now this would originally be called 60th Street, and this would be called 61st Street, 62nd Street, but we're going to use the Salt Lake City style system and go, just don't call it 61st Street, but just call it 6100 Street, 6000 Street, actually lane 6000, lane 6100, lane 6200. And instead of 10th Avenue, we'll call it lane 1000, lane 1100, lane 1200. Notice I could call them all lanes. I'm not distinguishing streets and avenues. I'm just using the same thing because the numbers don't overlap. There's no confusion. If we call the police and we say, I'm at lane 61st Avenue, doesn't matter because they don't overlap. There's sacristies. And we also see a similar thing in BGC, Bonifacio Global City in Manila, Metro Manila. They also use non-overlapping, but they use traditional 31st Avenue and that kind of thing. Okay, now we've established our lane names. Now our house numbers have to be integrated into the system to create the world's best system for rectangular streets. So house number 1145 is between lane 1100 and lane 1200. House number 1042 is between lane 1000 and lane 1100. And we are still doing the odd and even. One's on the one side, the odds on the, so we've got an integrated house numbers and street names, all part of the same system. And okay, now let's pull back and see what this whole thing could be like. okay. I'll find it here in a moment. Okay, so now actually with our non-overlapping streets and we can actually analyze this into this kind of thing. So if 1100 is here and then 6100 is there, so where's the origin of the system? It's way outside. So we always put the origin way outside the system. That way we don't have to deal with First Street North, First Street South, and that stuff, or 1100 North, 1100 South. The origin's always way outside the system. So, and then, okay. And so now we can analyze the whole thing into. Now, originally you say, well, you have the X and Y axes, but we don't because it's a single axis. How could a grid have one axis instead of two? Don't you need X and Y? Well, we don't because we folded our axis, and it's all, and we call it 2500, and it's outside the system. So no X and Y, just a single axis with a fold in it. And you can do that. Who says I can't fold an axis? You can bend them, right? Well, why can't I fold it 90 degrees? So now what I've done here is I've got the world's best system for rectangle. You can't beat it. Salt Lake City's Utah has this kind of system, but they blew it because they have the origin in the middle, creating confusion. I put the origin outside. And then, I challenge all of you to come up with a more efficient system. You just can't do it because it actually combines the Chinese lane and alley numbers with the American system. And I beat all of them. I beat North and South America, and I'm the winner. Thank you.
Thank you. Now let's call our last lightning talk speaker. The title of the speech is The Invitations to FSG4 Hiroshima 2026. This will be presented by Tanaka.
Okay. This is the souvenir in sharing everyone. This is tonjiru miso soup, pork miso soup. Okay, let's get started. Invitation to FSG4 Hiroshima 2026. FSG Global 2026 will be held in Japan, Hiroshima, at the end of the August 2026. Hiroshima is in here. Japan is the middle coast in Japan. This is Osaka. This is Tokyo. So latest update is the teaser site at FSG Hiroshima 2026 is here. This QR code, sharing this QR code. Okay, what is OSU and FOSFOG? OSU and the OpenStreetMap in the good relationship. OSU Foundation is the open source foundation. FOSFOG is the movement for free and open source software to geospatial. Also, always drill. It seemed to always drill Philippines active in the Philippines. Okay. In Japan, the submarine and the construction and the civil engineering and so on, this is the very active, and many books on the open source special topics and have been published. In here, it's the old book. In here. In Japan, OSS activity high in the, about 100 just jurisdictions. GIS written article in Japan programming shared sites. For example, Kita and Zen. Search for OpenStreetMap related article on Kita about 1,000 upon 1,000 articles. It's map library in Zen. Japanese government and local authority prompting 3D city model development. We also send many participants. Yeah, what is a Prato? This is a 3D model government site. This is a tried Prato here, a Prato view. This site, a 3D model in Tokyo. How the download data is go to HTTP, it's www.geospatialjp.ccan. Dataset. Unfortunately, in only Japanese. Okay, let's go to Hiroshima. About in Philippines, from Philippines and Ninoy Aquino Airport, about 4 or 5 hours to go. Other countries. Okay. We are providing grants, community members and students, please apply. Student voucher will also be available. Recommendation, 日本人手挙げてください. Exchange contact information with Japanese participant attend State of the Map Philippines. Okay, 彼らです。はい. Okay. Local phosphogy events are active in Japan. This year, branch events will the 4 locations: Hokkaido, Kyushu, Shinshu, Kansai. I run the Kyushu branch. Phosphogy Japan is next weekend in Tokyo. Okay, we will be the stream the YouTube. Okay, this is a slide. Okay, and State of the Map Japan 2025 will be held on December 6th in Osaka. Yeah, in Japan, OSM activity is so high. Proposal from overseas are welcome. This QR code, the share. Okay, I forgot about me. My name is Satoshi Tanaka. This is in the email. I'm also on the Facebook, Instagram, and the LinkedIn. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Tanaka.